Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we have been camping down on verse 10 of chapter 1 in the book of Malachi because here is a very, very serious matter that is generally ignored in our day and time, and yet it is a central matter in God's relationship to His people in the book of Malachi in Old Testament times, and it's obvious to me that there are some very important New Testament parallels that need to be carefully examined. And what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about this principle that no worship is better than corrupted worship. And that's what we find in verse 10 of the first chapter of the book of Malachi. After God has brought His first two indictments against Israel, the first one that they were failing to acknowledge and return His love, and the second one that they were offering corrupted worship upon His altars, then God makes a plea in verse 10. Who is there among you who would shut the doors? That is, the doors of the temple. These would be the doors that people came through, the gates of the temple. Who will shut the gates of the temple so that you would not kindle fire on my altars in vain? I'd rather have no sacrifices being offered than these corrupted ones. And all we're getting now are corrupted ones, and I'm not accepting them, says God. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. This kind of worship is totally unacceptable to me. Therefore, here is my appeal. Somebody, please, bar the doors, the gates of the temple, so that this corrupted worship will stop. And that's what's surprising. You would think that God would have said, who will clean up the worship? Who will stop these defiled animals from being offered on the altar? Who will inspect the animals to make sure that they meet the biblical requirements found in the books of Moses? Who will examine the priests to make sure that we have priests who have the right heart attitude in worshiping God? But none of that. That is certainly what's needed in some ways, but that's not what is most needed at this particular point, because God has said, I'm done with it until there is a total change of heart, until there is true revival. It would be better to shut the whole thing down than to keep going through the charade, keep going through the motions, keep going through the game of carrying out this worship, which is totally displeasing to me. Is there any parallel, any application for us today in New Testament times? I think there clearly is. And so we'll talk about it some more on this Tuesday, September 24. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for the gifts that make it possible. Well, the point, and I made it on the broadcast yesterday, is that we need to examine the New Testament scriptures to find out what are the elements of worship that God has prescribed. It's not for us to figure out what people like, what I like, what others like, what will most please people and make them most likely to want to attend church. That's not the issue. The issue is, what does God want in our worship? God has prescribed the public reading of Scripture. God has prescribed public prayer. God has prescribed the congregational singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. God has prescribed the exposition of Scripture. God has prescribed the giving of offerings. God has prescribed the observance of the ordinances or sacraments, as some people call them, namely baptism and the Lord's table. God has not prescribed a lot of other things that are found in many church services today, some of which have actually displaced some of the things that are prescribed. And the whole rationale is whatever works best. How many times I've heard people say something like this about a growing church? They must be doing something right. Look at the way they're growing. Well, it may be that they're doing everything wrong. They're doing the things that are popular to the carnal mind rather than what is acceptable to Almighty God. That's possible, isn't it? Not only possible, but it's clearly going on in some cases. So the first application of this text in Malachi is our need to examine the Bible for Christian practices of worship. And the second application is the need to properly evaluate churches, ours, yours, and others. Because what this text is telling us is that no church is better than a seriously unhealthy church. Did you hear me? No church. It would be better not to have church at all than to have a church that is in serious violation of the Word of God. That's what verse 10 is telling us. In Malachi's day, who is there among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Shut the gates of the temple and stop this charade. And in our day, the same prophetic voice would be saying to us, shut the doors of the church if you're not going to make it a biblical church. Because no church in the mind of God is better than a seriously unhealthy church. And that, of course, raises the question, what makes a church spiritually healthy? And we need to be able to answer that question. Is a strong attendance what indicates the church is spiritually healthy? Not necessarily. Is enthusiasm among the people who attend an indication that it's a spiritually healthy church? Not necessarily. Is it the facilities, the building? Is it the programs for children, for young people? That indicates it's a healthy church? Not necessarily. The answer to the question, what makes a church spiritually healthy, is faithfulness to the Word of God. Period. That's the answer to the question. What makes a church spiritually healthy? Answer, faithfulness to God's Word. The Bible accurately explained and proclaimed, the Bible applied to the lives of the members of the church, the Bible applied to the practices of the church. That's what makes a spiritually healthy church. Now, no church is 100% healthy. That is to say, there is no such thing as a perfect church. And that's just another way of saying every church has some things that are not totally right, not all that they ought to be, not 100% spiritual health. It's like our human body. The term good health is a relative term. I would say that it's accurate that I am presently enjoying good physical health. Does that mean that I'm 100% healthy? No. I've got a heart condition, but it doesn't seem to be affecting me. It doesn't seem to be impairing my well-being and health at the moment. I'm thankful for that. And every one of us, the healthiest person has some things that are not 100% healthy. It's as clear as that. Every now and then you'll read about someone who ran 5 miles every day and drops over dead of a heart attack or something like that. Well, how did that happen? A person like that is supposed to be completely healthy. No, they can have heart defects that aren't even known until something like that happens. I know a young man years ago who actually died on a daily run. He seemed to be in the actual peak of health, and he just keeled over and died right out there on his daily run. He was a godly man, godly young man. But he wasn't as healthy as he appeared. He had some spiritual defects, or he had rather some physical defects that were serious that he wasn't even aware of. So there's no such thing as a 100% healthy body. There's always some weaknesses somewhere in every body. And there's no such thing as a 100% perfect church. There are always some weaknesses somewhere. But I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about churches that are very careless with the Word of God and aren't even trying to obey the Word of God. What makes a church spiritually healthy? What was the answer? Faithfulness to God's Word. Taking God's Word seriously and endeavoring to grow in grace and knowledge into the fullness of the Word of God, which none of us ever arrive at perfection as individuals in this life, and no church is ever going to arrive at perfection either in this world. But that's what makes a healthy church, a church that takes the Bible seriously and is endeavoring to conform to it. And what this text is telling us in Malachi is that a seriously unhealthy church is worse than no church at all. A church where the Bible is openly denied or is acknowledged verbally but is ignored in practice. That's even worse. Pretending that we believe the Bible, but clearly we don't. A church where the Bible is hypocritically endorsed, but minimized and ignored in practice. That is a seriously unhealthy church, no matter what size it is. A church where sin is ignored, where repentance is not pressed upon people, where holiness is a non-issue, where the main point is pleasing and impressing men, that kind of church is dishonoring to God. Let me say a word to parents. It is a serious mistake to let your children choose the church that your family is going to attend. Well, you say, they've got to like it or they won't want to go. So, well, what are they going to choose if they're unconverted or spiritually immature? They're going to choose a church that's entertaining, that is probably ignoring everything that I'm talking about a serious approach to Scripture and making sure that the elements that are prescribed by God's Word are found in the worship of the church. It's a common attitude among many people, something like this. Well, I know that the church my children, my neighbors, my friends, my relatives attend is not a really good church, but at least they're in church. At least they're in church. I'm thankful for that. Maybe not. Maybe it would be better if they weren't in church at all than to be in a church that's seriously unhealthy. Malachi 1:10, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. And though I think every Christian has a responsibility to be involved in church, and I don't think it's good to find reasons why you can't and shouldn't, nevertheless, I must say the Scripture is clear. A seriously defective church is worse than no church at all. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.